Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Kathleen O, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Wednesday, December 9th, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we are on page 21, the second paragraph. We're starting on the 15th line that begins with, "He often possesses special abilities," and we'll be ending on the 20th line, that ends with, "by a senseless series of sprees." And as someone's unmuted, if you could mute your phone, please. We'll be commenting and focusing on those two sentences only. Today's readers are Terry H. will be reading the 12 steps. Joanne L. will be reading the 12 traditions. And the readers of our text are Christina L., Leah S., and Penny L.C. The share ID for Tuesday, December 8th, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,943. That's 15943. And this morning's Wednesday, December 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 15,953. That's 15953. Our newcomer greeter for today is Audrey M.P., and Robin P. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Terry H. to read the 12 steps, please. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kathleen, and everybody. This is Terry H. from Pensacola, Florida. I'm a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, not cured, through God's grace one day at a time. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. Over food that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrong. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all the persons that we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. Ten, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. With that, I'll pass, and thank you for letting me be in service today.
And thank you, Terry H. Joanne L., would you read the 12 traditions, please?
Yes, good morning, everyone. This is Joanne L. from Rhode Island, recovered overeater. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinions on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for letting me do service. I pass.
Thank you, Joanne L. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 21, the second paragraph, and we're going to be starting on the 15th line that begins with "he often possesses special abilities." We'll be ending on the 20th line by "a senseless series of sprees," and we'll be commenting and focusing on just those two sentences. So good morning, Christina L. If you could get us started, please.
Good morning. This is Christina L., a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida. He often possesses special abilities, skills, and aptitudes, and has a promising career ahead of him. He uses his gifts to build up a bright outlook for his family and himself, and then pulls the structure down on his head by a senseless series of sprees. Let me just set my timer. So I love these two sentences, and I'm really grateful that we're really breaking this paragraph down because there is so much in it. I never really had an opportunity to build up a bright outlook for my family or for myself because I was constantly in the fear of life. I made myself invisible to everyone and everything around me. I tried to control my environment and everything that was going on, how people thought about me. I had a lot of fear of tests. I started designing floor plans of houses when I was in fourth or fifth grade. And my family would tell me that I was really talented and, you know, said that I was really going to go far and I was going to do, you know, I was going to be a really great architect or whatever. And that's what I wanted to do. But the fear of the SATs, the ACTs, going away to school, being on my own, all that kind of stuff, the fear of it being, at that time, my mom was telling me that it was a man's career and that I'd be working with a lot of men, absolutely terrified me. And so I didn't go to school for that. I tried to find other ways to get around it by going the easier, softer way and avoiding tests and stuff. And I never did get there. And it's only been in the last several years where I've been in program, you know, and then too, when I did go to school, I went to the community college, you know, I couldn't focus. I couldn't focus on the classes, the work, or anything that I was having to do. And it was really a struggle, and I eventually just dropped out because I just couldn't do it. In where I've worked the last 19 years, you know, I was in an administrative field. I'm currently unemployed, gratefully unemployed, I might add. And I just know that my higher power has me right where he wants me, because it is giving me an opportunity to pursue potentially going back to school. And that's not something that I ever would have been able to do if I was still working, because it just requires too much time and I don't have it. And so I'm like really grateful that you know, I have this program, the tools, the steps, and everything that it's given me, because I am able to see that I do have special abilities, skills, and aptitudes. I don't know if I have a promising career ahead of me, because my higher power is my new employer. You know, I go where he needs me, where he wants me to go. I'm just doing the footwork that's right in front of me every single day. If fears come up, resentments come up, I do the 10 steps, you know, especially, you know, the last time I was unemployed was 10 years ago, and that job search experience was nothing compared to what I have experienced this time around. And I am just so incredibly grateful that I have a second chance, and that I'm able to be present in life today and not be running away and hiding and trying to make myself invisible by like wearing some imaginary invisibility cloak from Harry Potter. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Christina L. Okay, we are on page 21, the second paragraph, the 15th line, beginning with "he often possesses special abilities." We're reading through two sentences and focusing on those two sentences only, ending on line 20 by a senseless series of sprees. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared on Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share, I am ready for your name.
Michelle, could you repeat that page number?
Okay, I heard a whole bunch of people.
Repeat the page number.
We're on page 21, the second paragraph.
Thank you.
We're reading line 15 through 20.
Peg G.
Leah S.
Michelle R.
Michelle R.
Reggie O.
Audrey M.P.
Audrey M.P. Okay, let's stop right there. Wait, I can take one more. Do I have one more? Okay, we'll stop there then. Okay, I have Peg G, Leah S, Michelle R, Reggie O, and Audrey M.P. Go ahead, Peg G.
Thanks very much. I'm Peg, a compulsive overeater from New Jersey. And what really grabbed me was the idea that of being well-balanced in areas of your life, and for myself, except food. And that was true in some respect for me before coming into the program. In removing the food and becoming abstinent, I never would have thought of myself as a person who was a liar, but that word dishonest was very true for me now. It's really been revealed to me. The dishonesty first was with myself, minimizing my weight issues, minimizing the reality of things that were in front of me, and just not being honest with myself or with other people. And I also never thought of myself as selfish. And now as I go about my life, I find many, many times where the program invites me to look at myself, and I discover I am selfish, and I think God is calling me to be more selfless. So thank you, everyone, on this call, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Peg G. Leah S., good morning. You are up, followed by Michelle R.
Good morning. Thank you. Thank you very much. My name is Leah S., recovered and grateful in Brooklyn, New York. So just these few sentences are actually step one, where I come in so powered down, so defeated, so helpless and hopeless. And then it goes on to say, what else am I going to do? And that leads me into step two. Step two is the willingness. That it doesn't say that I'm going to, that the outcome is going to be as I want it. I'm going to be Miss America. I'm going to be Miss Universe. It doesn't say that. It just says just the willingness to be and to do what God. Now, how do I identify what God wants me to do? The truth of the matter is we all have our different talents, but we haven't been using, I haven't, I'm so sorry, I haven't been using it in the right direction. I didn't ask God, how can I be of service? I just recently heard a special needs child who is giving announcements on a radio because he has a good voice. My goodness, it has nothing to do with all the other deficits that he has. And that, you know, that brings hope. That brings me right back to step two. You know, the willingness, it's a flimsy reed, something that maybe it can help me in my recovery. Maybe if I change something, it's going to give me hope. It's going to get me into step two. It's going to get me into step three. And it's going to want to make me do and perform and do God's will. And with that, I will pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Leah S. Michelle R., you're up, followed by Reggie O.
Did you call me, Michelle R.?
Yes.
Okay, sorry, I was unmuting. Michelle R., compulsive overeater in Ohio. You know, I see a little something different in these few lines. I look at this, and it reminds me of what a people pleaser I have always felt the need to be. I was bright. I made straight A's. I worked extremely hard for them in school. It did not come naturally to me, but I had very low self-esteem because of a troubled childhood. I have always felt the need to lift up everybody around me. And I guess I did it in order to validate myself because of, you know, being put down and not thinking that I was good. And I kept trying even harder. But at the end of the day, you know, even though I accomplished things and I was proud of myself as well, I felt the need, I don't know whether to say to punish myself or satisfy myself by compulsively overeating. And this program has brought me to a healthy and wonderful place in my life that I never thought I would be. I have a good life. I always have. I'm not complaining about my situation or circumstances. I am very grateful that I realized that I am broken and that I have a disease. And the program has just brought me to a place that I am so happy and pleased to be in. Last night we had our meeting, our local Zoom meeting, and my sponsor's in it. And she said to me, or stated at the meeting, golly, remember when Michelle, I remember when she asked me, is this all you ever do? Because she's so involved in the program. I said, what do you do the rest of the time? And you know what? As it turns out, I'm doing the same thing. If it wasn't for this program to keep me straight and narrow and to know that I'm helping other people in a positive way, I'm not quite sure what I'd be doing during this pandemic. And I just want to put it out there that I pray to God that everybody stays safe and well and happy. I pass.
Thank you, Michelle R. Good morning, Reggie O. You are up, followed by Audrey M.P.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thanks so much for your service and everybody that's on the line today. You know, it's amazing. I'm sitting here. I was sitting here before the meeting. I'm doing another 4 through 9, and I'm in the fear inventory right now. And I'm sitting here writing about these fears, and I open up and I'm reading this, and it's right where I'm writing. So it's amazing. But when I came out of I don't know how it happened, but when I came out of college, I was immediately thrust into a new career that I was, and the position that I got in that new career was totally unexpected to me in my first year out, you know, and it was a lot of responsibility. I was quite successful, but I was also very self-conscious, didn't believe in myself. I hid out a lot. I didn't know what to do with the responsibility. And I eventually, pulled the structure out from under me and left the situation. I didn't know what I was going to do with the rest of my life. And my disease was taking off. And I came into OA some years ago. I got many years ago, actually, in 1985. And I got recovered around, I think it was in 1989 for the first time. And the first time, because I was willing to do whatever it took, and my life really took off on every level. And I went back to graduate school. I was, you know, and people saw a lot ahead of me, you know, and I had held leadership positions and all sorts of things, and fell into a career when I came out that I'd never expected, and you know, it was really quite something. However, I heard someone say once, don't let the gifts of the program keep you from the gifts of the program. And that's what happened to me, because I gradually started eating again. Slowly but surely, it grew into bigger eating. And I just sabotaged myself, you know, up one side and down the other. I couldn't keep up with anything. And I eventually hit bottom. And you know, So looking at this, you know, uses gifts to bring up a bright structure, pulling it down, you know, on my head by a senseless series of sprees. And for me, it was just a continuing increase back into the full-fledged disease of compulsive overeating and hiding out, you know. So it's just really good to see that. I've never read this big paragraph bit by bit before, and it is just so, I relate to it in ways I never have before, so it just really has lit up. I appreciate what everybody's sharing, and the opportunity, thank you whoever shared that I now have a new employer. You know, it's not an institution, it's not myself, it's actually my higher power who provides what I need, and that's what I hold on to from here forward. Thank you.
Thanks, Reggio. And before I take you, Audrey MP, just a reminder to everyone, we're on page 21. We're in the second paragraph. We're reading two lines in there. The 15th line is where we're starting. He often possesses special abilities, ending on the 20th line by a senseless series of sprees, and we're commenting and focusing on those two sentences only. And I'll be taking some names after Audrey MP. So go ahead, please, Audrey.
Good morning, Team Tuesday. Thank you, Kathleen. This is Audrey MP. I'm from Southern California. I'm a compulsive overeater and a recovered bulimic. And thank everybody for their service and for everyone who shared before me. I had some ideas about how I felt about this reading, and I appreciate everybody's shares kind of reconstructing in my head, what, you know, about the special abilities, the skills and the aptitudes. And I think of possessing, you know, a special ability, having a commitment and the fortitude to come to this meeting and to listen every day and to write down. I have notebooks full of numbers and people and names of newcomers and sponsors. Well, from November of last year until I made a commitment. So I'm looking at the career as my membership in a Vision for You. and how I, you know, how, oh, I'm just really going to get better. I've come in as a low bottom bulimic. I have recovery for 27 years. I have had different food plans and special attention and nutritionists and the promise of losing weight or having a good week. And then when it says, when I pull the structure down, when he pulls the structure down on his head by a senseless series of sprees, I don't know if anybody relates, but then I often feel like, oh, now I need a treat. I've done so well. My food's so clean. Let's have an XYZ, you know, which leads to the whole starting the alphabet over, A, B, C, D, E, F, G, da, 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 you know, and the words, I heard the word self-esteem, you know, my prayer is for asking God to allow me to let myself weigh less. I've had, my eating disorder has just been about, body image and how I feel and no self-esteem and full of sabotage and not being able to appreciate the good things in life. So I've had to change things around and be grateful every day. So I'm grateful today for my able body and for my self-esteem and for having a body image and being comfortable in my skin. I want to weigh less, which is why I qualify as still as a compulsive overeater. I am not recovered. I'm not at the weight I want to be. And so I'm going to keep it simple by keep coming back and having the special abilities and the willingness that God gives me to come into these meetings and to be of service. And I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Audrey MP. Okay. Although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share on these two sentences, page 21, the 15th line through the 20th line, I'll take your name.
Evan.
Okay, two people came in, a gentleman and a woman, and I didn't hear either.
Kristen R.
Kristen R.
Evan U.
Evan U.
Terry E.
Terry E.
Evan R.
Leslie.
Okay, I heard
Leslie W.
Leslie W. Was that, I thought I heard an Evan U. Is that the same person that said sounded like Evan R?
No, it's a different Evan.
Okay, so I have Evan U and Evan R. Okay. Okay, well, let's stop there. I have Kristen R., Evan U., Terry E., Leslie W., and Evan R. So go ahead, please, Kristen R.
Thank you, moderator, and thank you for everybody who made this meeting possible. My name is Kristen R. in Virginia, and I'm a recovering, grateful, compulsive overeater. I am very grateful for these paragraphs, I mean, for these lines, because there was a time in my life when I pulled the structure down on my head, because as an addict, I live in fear. Fear is my motivator for most things. And before program, I didn't have any way to cope with fear. So instead of facing fear, I would run. I would leave careers that were promising. I would disappoint people. I would give up before I even tried, because I was so fearful. But as someone else said earlier, I have a new employer now, so it doesn't matter what my former supervisor thinks of me or my career. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks of me. What matters is what my new employer, my higher power, thinks of me. So each day I have to act in gratitude. I have to live my life as if it were a thank you to my higher power for giving me every resource I have, whether it's the most banal thing from doing the laundry to even more difficult things. I have to be grateful for every moment of my life, because that's how I stay in good spiritually fit condition. So thank you for letting me share. I pass.
Thank you, Kristen R. in Virginia. And Evan U., you are up, followed by Terry E.
Hi, this is Evan U. from California. Thank you, Team Wednesday. And I'm happy to participate in the War of the Evans this morning. I read this and I really relate to the special abilities, skills, and aptitudes. As we've gone through this book again, and I've been going through it with lots of sponsees, you know, Bill's story, step one, all the way through this, and I really see it as a story of somebody with a lot of special skills and abilities who's going to prove himself to the world, and this is very much me. And I, in almost every paragraph where he talks about I'm going to make something of myself, he always talks about, and then the drink got worse. You know, and this is true of me too. I can't think of the moments where as my career got better and I got more successful that my ego got bigger along with it and the food increased. It's like the size of my ego is equal to the size of my food kind of thing. It's a different relationship today. You know, it's like not living from self, surrendering my ideas, continually living step one, living in this state of surrender. It really allows me to see that, it helps to continue to expose how powerless I am over food. I've become more aware of my powerlessness over food as it's gotten better because I really can see this time around. I've had lots of meal plans in the past and food plans where there's so much me controlling and weighing and measuring and doing all this, which not to take away from anybody and what they're doing because it's all been very helpful. But for me today, it's like God is doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. And the amount of control that I'm putting on it is less than I ever have before. And the food is regulating itself, you know, through this psychic change and this spiritual awakening that's happening, which is allowing me to do less and less and less. And it's like, and the food is teaching me and showing me that even in my job, even in this area of career where I think I've got to do this to impress this person, or I've got to figure this out, how am I going to get this done? I can surrender all of that and let that go and allow God to do it through me. The food is being such a teacher for me for how to practice these principles in all my affairs and not try to control or make myself into anything, but allow God to use me to make me into something else. You know, so it's an incredible journey, you know, that I urge everyone to take, work the steps, have the psychic change and see what your psychic change is going to reveal to you about the wonderfulness of you. So thank you guys for letting me share and just be a part of this amazing fellowship. Have a great day.
Thank you, Evan U. in California. Okay, Terry E., you are up, followed by Leslie W. Good morning, Terry. Star one to unmute, Terry.
Hi, I'm Terry E. I'm from Lexington, Kentucky. I live part-time in the East Bay in California, but part-time here as well, so I'm in Kentucky. This is my first live meeting. I definitely have a problem with food, and I do have a sponsor, and I am thrilled to be here, so thank you guys. I am so struck by so much in terms of the addiction. I've been in, I'll just say it, AA for 26 years, and coming back to food issues, definitely my core addiction. I was in another food program that I was fired for not being perfect, I'll just say that, and a lot of anger towards that. I lost weight, but I promptly put it back on. A couple of things trigger my addiction big time. And what I experienced and watched it unfold was when I eat this sweet substance, oh my God, that is what would happen with my drinking. Hands down, I don't care how many years, it's only a day at a time with food as well. And it absolutely terrified me. And my sponsor is amazing and was on fire about a vision for you and has been through many programs as well. And I trusted her, not putting my power into her, but that's what I'm working with, you know, and it's never about the food. And knowing that I'm an emotional eater and being able to understand what we just read about, for me, low self-esteem, self-sabotage, I find addicts to be incredibly resourceful, very bright people. Bill W., absolutely. And through the plummets in my life in the last few years, that some of the darkest times ever, I did lose some jobs, the one where I made the most money ever. And I've always wanted to be a writer. And now I have a tiny resume writing and job coaching business where I can do that wherever me and my laptop go. I am doing some speaking and sharing with a mental health organization about my own experience, much like we do in program. And I am practicing radical self-care. It's something I never, ever have done because I needed to do more. So I am so grateful. And I just need to do... I need to do more of this, showing up and sharing. So I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Terry E. in Kentucky. Leslie W., good morning. You are up, followed by Evan R.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. I'm Leslie W., recovered compulsive overeater from Tennessee. Yeah, I too felt that I was perfectly sensible and well-balanced concerning everything except for food. I couldn't understand why a smart woman with a college degree who owned her own business, had a child, had a husband, had a house, paid her bills, had friends, had obligations, and in church and in the community and all of those things that I showed. I couldn't understand why this woman could not stay away from a jar of peanut butter or a piece of cake or a pan of yeast rolls. My God, what a humbling disease this is. God has used this disease to humble me and to speak to me and to show me that he loves me, that he cares about me, that really the only entity that I have to please is him. You know, we talk about people pleasing a lot in this program. But truly, what is that? You know, that's the thing, is that I possessed certain abilities and gifts and talents, which people then praised, which then created a monster. And I sought after that praise and I sought after that validation from you and everybody else, that I didn't know how to just be myself. it was attached to all these, myself, my sense of self was attached to all these things. It was attached to that validation from you. And the more I chased it, the more elusive it became. And the more I ate, and the more I ate, and the more I ate. Until I hated myself, until I couldn't stand myself in the mirror anymore, and I wanted to die. And today, I'm a normal body weight, and my life is full, it's good. I don't live to eat anymore. I eat to live. But without this program, it would not be possible. And without the love of my God, it would not be possible. And so with that, I thank you, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie W. from Tennessee. And Evan, before I take you, I just want to remind everyone that we are on page 21. We're in the second paragraph. It's a long paragraph, so we're breaking it down. We're reading two sentences this morning, starting on the 15th line. He often possesses special abilities, reading through a sense or by a senseless series of sprees on the 20th line. And I'll be taking some more names after Evan R., so go ahead, please, Evan R.
Hi, I'm Evan R., recovered compulsive overeater, from Southern California. I think I say this every time I share, but I really enjoy the breakdown. I think looking at this line or these few lines, it really resonates with me. I mean, this was my story to a T, absolutely. But it kind of makes me think of the term that gets thrown around, like functional compulsive overeater, or like functioning alcoholic. And it's like, for me, I would give the mirror or the air or the mask of functioning, but really behind the scenes, it was a nightmare. And eventually, yeah, the load got so heavy that the sprees really set me back. And I was thinking it's hard to get ahead in life when you wake up feeling very ashamed of yourself or you're hiding away at night, for me at least. And when I first got into the program, it was sort of a priority, like, oh, I got to get my, got to get my career back on track and start getting my finances right. And I really was putting the cart before the horse, because I realized that if I'm not recovered or not engaging in addictive behaviors, it doesn't really matter even if my career or my money is more right, because I'm still atrociously unhappy. So what's good, and what I get hope for new people too, is once your recovery gets put together, your finances and career, if you choose to pursue that path, really do fall in line. I've seen that with myself and the other people that I've worked with. And I mean, that's exciting to me. That's like very, very motivating. And then the last part of this paragraph that I think was interesting, and I see this in other parts of the book, is, I was so quick to dismiss all of my good attributes just because I have addiction or compulsive eating. It's like, oh, I have all these horrible things. And it's like very easy to berate myself with all the negative aspects. But like it says right here, like there are positive things about these people who are addicts. And it says other parts in the book that you do have good willpower in other regards to other aspects. So I think it's kind of nice to shine the light of positivity on myself, as well as still address the issues. So with that, that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, Evan R. in California. Okay, I have time for about two more people who, if you haven't shared Monday or Tuesday and you'd like to share on these two lines, I'll take your name.
Wendy M.
Barbara W.
Okay, I heard Wendy M. and Barbara W. So go ahead, please, Wendy M.
Great. Hi, Wendy M., recovering compulsive overeater. So happy to be on the line. Thanks for your service. Oh my, well balanced concerning everything except liquor. That's actually not my story. I'm super not well balanced in all aspects of my life. In fact, I came back really to the rooms because my life was just so unmanageable. And I had no idea how dishonest and selfish I am. I mean, I'm on step 8, and last night I'm like, I don't really need to do, an amends to my mom. So why not just try it? So I write down my mom's name, and I couldn't believe how selfish I've been to her as her daughter, and how selfish I am in all areas. And I have to tell you, even though there's sadness and some tears in my voice, I'm so bloody lucky that I'm in a place in my life right now that I can see clearly who I am and what I've been. I've been in this program 20 years, and I've used it as a diet program, you know, with group support. And now I'm not. I'm taking these steps, and they are living in my body. I have to tell you guys, I feel like I'm in the ring, and I'm just getting punched around with my defects. And that's a good thing. You know, God is definitely knocking on my door and wanting my attention. God is getting my attention. I'm literally exhausted from the inside out because these steps and taking these steps for the first time in my life, I see the selfishness. I feel the selfishness in my body. It is so uncomfortable to be myself, to be me. And again, that's the good news. I can see for the first time how dishonest I've been, how I've tried to manage with selfishness, with managing, with, you know, self-centered control of everything. And I'm so delighted to see how selfish I am with my mother, with my sister, with my son, with my ex-husband. It's the best news because it's going to free the heck out of me. I had to, like, text so many of you guys last night just going, how did you get through 8 and 9? Like, and I didn't mean, like, how do you literally do 8 and 9? It was, like, emotionally, how do you get through the emotions? And I am abstinent today, and I am working through these rapidly because literally my head, you know, I'm underwater, you know, my breath is whatever it's called. Like, you know, I'm underwater and I'm holding my breath. That's it. And because I don't have access yet to my higher power. But I got to tell you, I am turning a corner. I am seeing for the first time how deeply selfish I've been. And I don't berate myself and I don't shame myself in this process. I simply say, oh, dear God, that's what's gotten in the way of closeness with my higher power, of unblocking all of it, of course. So with that, I pass. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, thank you.
And thank you so much, Wendy M. from Colorado. Okay, Barbara W., go ahead, please.
Good morning. Yeah, Barbara W. here from Washington State. Glad to be here. It's my birthday. I'm 75 years old. But what I wanted to relate to on this, I got an insight that I've never gotten before. I'm a retired teacher many years ago. And I look back and I remember one of my complaints in the teaching career was I never could stay in one grade long enough to be a master teacher. And if I look real carefully back at my disease, I think of the 90s, which was I considered the worst decade of my illness. Getting up to 250 pounds, my father died, and it was just a roller coaster. And I realized that the reason I never could stay at one grade had to be with my lack of recovery, and the weight and the residue from in 1990 going through my second divorce to a second different gentleman, and I'm going, oh man, did I ever mess things up? And I didn't look on it as that way. I just thought, oh, it's just a bad decade, and I guess I was never meant to be a master teacher and all this. And yet I would pull it down around me, and I'm in 7 months abstinence after 43 years in program, and I'm going, oh boy. You know, why did it take me so long to do this? And my gratitude is that I'm in a position with the big book and the 12 steps and sponsoring 3 different people for the first time in my entire time in program and having the recovery I have never known before. I went through cataract surgery. And I asked my sponsor, I said, why was I so calm? Shouldn't I have been anxious or scared or something? And she said, well, just maybe you were content. you were confident in your recovery, and you placed your higher power. And I was thinking also with my place with my sponsees and the success they're achieving. And I'm going, oh my gosh. And yet I look back, and I'm grateful for this experience. I won't say I had liked it, but I'm grateful to have the insight to know I'm the one that pulled things down around me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
And thank you, Barbara W. in Washington, and happy birthday. Okay, so thank you everyone who shared this morning. Really amazing shares. And we are going to close with the reading now from the big book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Leah S., would you please read A Vision for You?
Okay. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.